Hey, and welcome to Tomorrow. I'm your host, Joshua Topolsky. Today on the podcast, we discuss Elliot Spitzer, Charlie XCX, and the last time I was high. But first, a word from our sponsor.
This episode of Tomorrow with Joshua Topolsky is brought to you by Nadex, Binary Options Trading. Say you think the markets are going up. You can go to Nadex.com and make a trade on that. You're not buying stock. You're trading on where you think the price will be by a certain time. Trade the most popular financial markets with thousands of short-term contracts listed daily. Go to Nadex.com and get started trading binary options. That's Nadex.com. Futures options and swaps trading involves risk and may not be appropriate for all investors.
My guest today is a dear old friend and a wonderful human being.
My host today is a dear old friend and a so-so wow. human being.
This is great because normally I don't get an intro. Normally, like, the guest doesn't
intro
me.
You're the man who needs no introduction.
That's also, I do sort of intro myself. But yeah. Anyhow, my guest is Nick Offer, the lead singer of Chick Chick Chick, otherwise known as 3 exclamation marks. Or it can be any sound, any staccato, any tight sound.
It kind of got marginalized because of Google. You couldn't Google the exclamation mark, so you had to spell it like CHK. We fought with the record company
CHK.
Yeah, that's how you Google it.
Are you on the get up on the mic here? Don't be too far away.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't have to be on it. You don't have to be all over it, but just make sure you don't.
Okay.
And this is not like one of your performances where you can just wiggle around and dance. Okay. This is a conversation.
Okay.
Have you ever done a podcast before?
I've never done a conversation before.
You've
this is my first one. I'm really excited about it.
I'm having vodka. Nick's not having anything to drink.
I'm having coffee.
Let me tell you some fact. Well, that's not really a drink.
It's gonna. Sometimes when I have my coffee, and I'll say things I shouldn't have said about.
But that's what I
was talking a bunch of shit about this other artist.
Were you the other day? Who? Yeah. Who was it?
Well, then I'd be talking shit twice.
No, come on, who are you talking to about?
Like
an indie artist
a big artist, and I don't want. And it was an artist that I respect.
Who was it?
It was Daft Punk.
Okay, let's hear. What were you saying? What were you saying about Daft Punk?
Well, I just thought it was kind of like, I thought their whole rollout for the last album was kind of like, it was kind of like artisanal techno or whatever. It was like they're using real studios and real synths, and it was kind of like, it's like, and they spent like $1 million making that record, and it has like everything's authentic and
sounds
real.
Sounds really good though, don't you think?
It doesn't sound as good as the first album that they made in their bedroom.
Homework. I know, a whole different record, don't you think?
And that's the thing. That's why I did not like talking shit about them, because obviously they had to make the record from where they're at now. And they have access.
I can't
go in and make $1 million record. The only reason I was talking shit about them is I don't like their disrespect of young kids in Ableton. You know, those kids are making amazing records, and I don't think
Did they disrespect them?
Yeah, I felt like that was their whole kind of like philosophy behind the album.
Really?
I thought it was those artists.
I thought it was more like we've spent our careers thus far like basically sampling records from the 70s.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And now we're going to make a record from the 70s ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Like using the techniques and the equipment of 70s, like
basically
of like 70s and then maybe early 80s producers.
Yeah, yeah.
That's my take. So
sure,
I'm not.
I get you.
So you seem like an asshole now that you've said that. I feel like
you made me do this. I didn't want to talk shit on this artist. Let's be clear. Daft Punk changed my life.
Yeah.
And I think there's some great songs on that last record.
But I hope they're not listening. I mean, they probably are. When they hear this, they're probably going to be they're probably fans of Chick Chick Chick, and they're going to hear this and going to be like, we love those guys, and now they've thrown us under the bus for no reason.
I feel really bad.
And, they worked hard to make that million-dollar
record.
I had some
great times to that last album.
What's the best song from the last Daft Punk record?
Besides Get Lucky, because that's obviously
No, I'm saying is your favorite song from that record?
I really like the Julian Casablancas one.
Yeah.
That one I thought was a really great
song. The Panda Bear track is
pretty
amazing.
Everyone really likes that one.
It's so repetitive.
Yeah. I like that one.
So what's the top?
I'd say either the Julian one or the other Pharrell one. Lose Yourself to Dance.
That better than Get Lucky?
No, I said Get Lucky was obviously...
Get Lucky's the top.
Yeah,
So here's one for you.
Okay.
Get Lucky versus... Defunk.
No question, man.
What?
No question.
What is it?
Defunk.
Yeah, right.
without a doubt.
Is that the name of the song? I'm like, is the name of the song, right?
Defunk, yeah.
That's the song.
Yeah,
Daft Punk. That's the song that, like, when I heard it, And I heard it when I was like a rave DJ.
Sure, yeah.
And I didn't play anything that speed because it's slow.
Right,
it's like
right.
109 or something. Okay. It's like not a fast song. Yeah. I was like, first off, I was like, I wish I could play this because I was playing like trance at 140 beats.
Yeah.
But I was like, what aliens made this shit?
Right.
Because it's so outrageous. Because that song's so good as like a guitar-driven like house track.
Yeah.
And then the middle is just like, oh, wait. This is from outer space. We're going to drop a sick, nasty, distorted 303 all over everything.
Yeah.
You know, that bit is like, to me, what techno music sounds like.
Sure.
The mid part.
Yeah. Anyhow, I mean, it's interesting to hear your perspective, honestly, because, I mean, my perspective was as a punk. And so I didn't know, like, I heard they're like, oh, they're ripping off Todd Terry, they're ripping off Dance Mania or Chicago stuff. And, like, I didn't know. To me, it sounded like, to me, it sounds like a bit, like they push, I'm trying to think of what a good comparison it's I don't know, it's like you have like all those 80s English indie bands and then you have the Smiths,
yeah,
you know, it's kind of like it kind of turned into something richer. Well, you have those psych bands, then you have Pink Floyd.
No,
it's like a bit richer.
No, it's beyond, it was beyond anything that anybody was doing at the time.
Yeah,
it was
okay.
It was just completely outrageous. Let's talk about you a little bit. You guys just finished a record.
Indeed.
I feel like for a second I sound a lot like a radio guy.
As soon as you said that sentence.
You just wrapped up a new record. You're going on tour next fall. Tell me what your mindset is right now. I'm like, who's a guy who does rock and roll interviews on the radio anymore? Does that even exist?
I used to listen to Rockline as a kid. Do you remember that show?
Vaguely.
I remember listening as a kid, and there was Van Halen was on the air, like right when 1984 came out.
Wow.
And then all of a sudden, there was just like all this commotion. They're like, whoa! And then the radio announcer said, well, I think I should tell you that a naked woman has just walked into the studio.
Are you serious?
I'm serious. Was that what I remember as a 10?
Were you like, this is
10.
The greatest thing that ever
happened?
Is that when you decided to become a rock and roll musician?
No, I had already made that decision.
Oh, had you?
Yeah.
At the age of 10?
No, at 7.
At 7?
At 7.
What happened?
You know, honestly, I heard Kiss.
Really?
Yeah, and I'm not a Kiss fan today. I wasn't really even then. I just liked their records and the whole concept.
No one's judging you. I mean, people are probably judging
you. No, because people love Kiss, and I just don't get it. Like, Kiss is like low in the totem pole of rock bands.
They have a couple of catchy songs, but they're not very good.
No, certainly not.
But I don't think it's like a controversial statement.
No, I mean, people really ride for them, though. But I mean, to me, it's like...
people ride for Kiss? I don't think that's true.
No, they do.
Ride or riot?
Certainly not riot.
No, definitely not. I don't think they ride either, but anyhow, go ahead.
Kiss is not playing. Fuck.
I just don't think. It's not like Springsteen.
It's certainly not.
People who are into Springsteen are like serious.
Yeah.
And they're steel workers.
People are serious about Kiss. That one guy from Pantera, remember he got buried in a Kiss coffin.
No one's ever been buried in a
Bruce Springsteen coffin.
You don't know that. And also, I think one guy from Pantera is not a good like map of who the general Kiss listener is.
Right.
Like, you know, that one guy from Pantera really liked Kiss. Who got buried.
No, look, there's a lot of Kiss fans out there. That's a serious thing. It's a serious thing.
If you say so.
All right.
Anyhow, so you just finished a new record.
Okay, yes.
Tell me about that. I should say, hold on a second.
Mm-hmm.
I should backtrack here a little bit. I know I'm doing it again. I bring people on here, and we're supposed to talk about the future, but we talk about the past.
You've got to know your past, or what is it? Bob Marley said something. You know what it is.
Wow.
Google it, okay?
Wow. That's strong stuff. That's powerful. You know, think about that, guys. Think about what Bob Marley said, and let us know, because... neither of us know exactly what he said.
What is it?
Email Magnus, my producer, who is also Swedish. Email Magnus at Tomorrow Podcast with what you think Bob Marley said that Nick was trying to reference. And then next week we'll read them. We'll read your answers on the show. So we should talk about our history, actually, how we know each other.
Yeah. How do we know each other?
We
met each other in the studio, I believe.
Yeah, in the studio. In
Brother's studio. Yeah. I met you and your brother the same day.
My brother and I had a studio in Brooklyn.
Mm-hmm. And we just did it.
We made a record. We produced a record together at our studio. It's called Myth Takes.
Mm-hmm.
It was...
look it up right now.
It was given an 8 on Pitchfork.
8.0. Yeah.
Which we can talk about in a second, because remember, we had a lot of conversations about that.
Oh, yeah, right. Whether it was going to hit 8.
I predicted it was going to be 8 or above.
And
it was.
Yeah, they
just
they 8. Couldn't be too nice to us. That was like, because 8.0 meant something different at that point.
No, that was a big deal.
Yeah, I just remember when I got the score, I was like, 8?
No,
I was pissed.
You're wrong. That's wrong. You were not pissed, and I remember. I'll tell you what.
You were not in the room with me when we got that score.
I know how you reacted to that score, though.
How did I react?
Because the previous scores they'd given you were not very nice.
I don't know if you know this, but when I was in Out Hood, we got like a 9.9.
Out Hood's a different story. Out Hood's a different story. Different band, different story. But Chick, 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 I remember us talking about
it. We'd only gotten a 7.0 and like a 2.4. Yeah. 2.4, 7.0.
Yeah.
Wow, I want to see this graph, actually. From 2.4 to 7.0, 8.0. Yeah, back down. We're going back down the mountain.
Well, maybe you're
going
to go. Anyhow, but I remember you being very pleased. Impressed that my word was...
I was impressed at your bond in this situation. You had nailed that. I just remember we were in a restaurant
Magnus
in Tokyo.
Magnus will edit this out, I'm sure.
Yeah. I remember I was in a restaurant.
Don't edit this out. Okay.
It was a restaurant in Tokyo. They told us the score. You're definitely not there. They told me the score, and I was in a fucking bad mood already. I was just like, 8.0?
Yeah.
I was mad.
That's weird, though, because an 8.0 is considered very good for Pitchfork
standards. In these days. But usually I feel like when they give something an 8.0 now, it's like because they have to.
Really?
You know, it's like 8.0, they're like, we're writing for this artist, but it's not actually that good.
I don't know.
This record isn't that
good. Here's the thing. I don't believe in reviews of like art. Because I think it's a really weird thing to read. I mean, I believe in them. Like, what I like is critique. What I like is critique. Laura and I were just talking about this. Uh-huh. Critique is really important. Like, to talk about, like, where things come from, like, contextualize them. Mm-hmm. To, like, you can say, like, from an opinion, your opinion, like, you're a critic. Your opinion is, I don't think this is good because they didn't execute or didn't fulfill whatever. Yeah. I just think it's weird to say, like, somebody says, this is my favorite record. This is the best record ever made, which I believe like everybody has.
Sure, sure.
And then somebody goes, wrong.
Yeah.
This is the best record ever made. It's like, listen, like, that's like, I like this painting, but you don't like that painting. It's like, who's right? There is no right there.
Sure,
I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that critique doesn't have a place. It does have a place. And as a person who's reviewed a lot of things, but I think I've reviewed things that have empirical, like you can make empirical calls on them. You can say like, this phone makes better calls than that phone. Yeah, and that's like a scientific fact or whatever.
Sure.
You know, like this browser is faster than that. You know, it's like basic like tech stuff.
Yeah,
it's really easy to quantify. But I don't think you can quantify taste. I mean, you know what? You know good taste and bad taste when you see it. But
yeah. You know. I mean, it's certainly worked itself into another kind of entertainment, this criticism.
Criticism.
You know?
Well, it should be a form of entertainment.
And it's like certainly like there's a lot of reviews that I read. I would never listen to that record. But I, you know, I mean, something gets a 2.4. I'm going to read that review probably will not listen to
the record.
The
best reviews are bad reviews.
Yeah. Certainly.
When A.O. Scott writes a really bad review of a movie, it's like a joy to read.
Right, sure.
I mean, listen, it's not fun to read some high praise of something. Like, oh, you thought Kanye's record was genius? That's nice.
Yeah. I'm kind of a dork for that stuff. I do like to read that stuff sometimes.
Maybe you have a different view as an artist. Did you read Lou Reed's take on, that after he died, there was somebody published
the Yeezus one.
It was him listening to Yeezus and talking about all. Was like one of the greatest things.
It was almost like, almost good for him to go out on that. It was almost like a great epitaph.
Dark. That is really dark.
Well, I said dark things about Lou Reed. You know what I used to say about Lou Reed?
No.
I used to say.
Okay. This is not going
to
be good.
I used to say, I wish he would hurry up and die so we could miss him.
Wow. First half punk now, Lou Reed. You're really batting. I don't know. I don't know about batting scores, so I don't know how that works.
Can I just say
whatever's bad? That's what you're batting.
Can I just say that the night that he died, I cried. I mean, I listened.
It doesn't really make up for what you said.
I played sad. I missed him. It happened.
I mean,
Lou was a prickly character.
No one's doubting that.
He did things that you didn't have to do. He could have just been a little bit nicer.
He made that record with Metallica. I mean, he didn't have to do that.
Right.
That record's
But I mean, if he hadn't wrote
that
Yeezus review, he would have been remembered for Lulu.
I think it was more like a transcription, but anyhow.
Well, whatever he did, it was a great review. And it's something that I think about still. You know, what is the great quote? And he said, you know, an artist makes something because he thinks it's beautiful. And it really made you be like, fuck, should I listen to Lulu again?
Yeah, Lulu's actually really good. You don't realize that.
Is it?
Put the best song of Lulu up against the best Daft Punk song from their first record.
Can we do that? Like, can we edit that in?
Magnus?
Magnus is like, don't make me listen
Magnus,
to fucking Lulu.
I want you to pick in the edit. They're going to be in 1 second, okay? Sorry, my nose is very itchy. In 1 second, not 1 second, but right after I'm done talking, Magnus is going to play what he thinks snippets of the best song from Homework and the best song from the Metallica Lou Reed collaboration, Lulu.
Right in the foyer, the bathroom, the tea room, the kitchen, and knives blade I swallow. Your shop is cut like a colored man's dick, blood spreading from me.
what I see actually in the other room is a whole screen of Bob Marley quote images.
Are you looking for the quotes? You're looking for the quote? Okay, good.
I like when they take those and put them on somebody else. Like put these Marley quotes on Steve Jobs.
Yeah.
Like, you know?
Like No Woman, No Cry and Steve Jobs. That's really good. I saw the greatest thing in the world. Yeah. The other day.
Oh, wow. Congratulations. That must have been an incredible moment for you.
It's similar along the same lines. Mm-hmm. It's a t-shirt that has the Unknown Pleasures sound wave on. It's not a sound wave, but whatever.
Yeah, whatever it is.
And it says, and instead of Unknown Pleasure, Joy Division Unknown Pleasures, it has Smooth by Santana featuring Rob Thomas. It is the greatest.
That's a good one.
Greatest thing in the world. It's like my number one favorite. I
don't wear really red t-shirts. And is it in that wording too?
Yeah, like, it's exactly the same.
Featuring Rob.
Yeah, it's the exact same. It's exact how the song is labeled, but with the Unknown Pleasures.
I like that.
It's
great.
Fucking perfect.
That's great.
Anyhow, so we were talking about what were we talking about?
Can I ask you a question? You tweeted a couple months ago.
Yeah.
A song on a Friday night.
Yeah.
And this said this is a great song or whatever. And then like 15 minutes later, you tweeted, "Music is amazing."
Yeah.
Were you high?
What was the song?
Were you high?
Hold on, what was the song? I want to know.
You know, I feel like it was some Swedish kraut song. It was like 10 minutes long. And it was good. Do you
can
know
you find? Can you find
this tweet?
My
this
Twitter account. Do a search for @Joshua.
Wait, you know,
Magnus, hold on. Are you have your phone? Give me. Is this online? I told you to put it on airplane mode.
I put it on the moon.
What's your code?
2121.
Hey guys, if you're around Nick and you see his phone, his lock code is 2121. Here's your latest search. Hold on. Here's your latest search in Safari. Prospect Park, Paris is burning.
Tomorrow night.
What is that?
It's that Vogue movie, that Vogue documentary. They're showing it tomorrow.
Oh yeah, because you have like Vogue up on your lock screen.
Oh, that's Justify My Love.
Justify My Love. It's Vogue era Madonna.
Yeah, yeah.
Hold on a second. I'm going to do a search for this right now. I'm actually now, I know what you're talking about.
So you didn't answer the question. Were you high? You high?
Wait, what did I say? Music is amazing?
Yeah.
If I wasn't high, I was drunk.
Oh, really?
I can tell you that.
Do you not get high anymore?
Or I was drinking.
When was the last time you were high?
Like on weed?
On anything.
Oh, do painkillers count? This is raw.
Do you get high?
This is Josh.
Do you get high?
I mean high. What do you mean? Like I strip nude and go into the street?
I don't know. I mean, are you just like, are you one of those pill fiends? Are you like, you're like in the Fast World? You're like Bright Lights, Big City or something, right?
That's me. That's me. I'm like Michael J. Fox in the film version of Bright Lights, Big City.
I never saw the film. I only read the book.
I want to know what the song was.
That's what I want to know too.
We have to know, Magnus. This is not going to be good if we don't know.
It was your quote. This is on January 24th.
That's a totally different day.
Because I tweeted at you.
The whole day. Could have been right close to midnight.
I said, "Come back, rock and roll never forgets. Let's make another record. Only kind of joking."
And what did I say?
Doesn't have.
I responded.
Know. Yeah, you did respond.
I was like, "Let's do this."
Yeah, you were. You're gonna find it. 24th of January.
There should be a way to go and look at your tweets from a certain day. Oh, this is the worst.
Okay. Anyways,
I'm dying.
So
now.
What do we? So
yeah, I said music is amazing. I tweeted. So you're saying that I tweeted a song.
Mm-hmm.
And then I said, "Music is amazing."
And the song was,
like
very trippy.
It's a 10-minute like kraut.
You still haven't answered. When was the last time you got high? It was January 24th. Wasn't it?
I mean, I smoked weed recently.
Okay,
you know, a little bit of weed.
Okay,
but
you're not like what do you smoke? Once a month? Once a year? Once a week?
I'm not a regular weed. I don't like weed. That's a bad drug for me. I make a lot of jokes about it, but to me, so I don't know. I was just talking.
Do you know
about
what I remember actually being so high, so high at your house?
Ooh, and that's our podcast for the week. Great stuff, Nick.
And
as
you
always.
Showed me the first iPhone.
What?
We were all high, gathered around you. I don't think you were high. I don't think you were high.
You were high,
just on weed.
On weed, as usual.
You know,
when's the last time you were high?
Like a week ago. I smoke weed once a week.
That long? You just pick a day?
I'm kind of like a weekend warrior. I think it's good to get out of my head.
Yeah.
But I can't do it all the time.
Right, of course.
I do it pretty regularly. Like
yeah,
and then
moderate.
I'm going to listen to some stuff. I'm like kind of have it planned out. I think that's how people should get high.
Right.
I don't like this wake and bake all day.
No, that's crazy.
That's a stupid way to live.
Who can live like that? Anyhow, so you're saying that you were stoned. It was 2007. We were at the studio probably working.
No, we had finished the record. This was after the record.
Oh, really?
So when did the first iPhone come
2007.
Out? Oh, really? Yeah, so the record was just coming out.
June of 2007.
Exactly. We were partying at your house.
Okay.
Probably celebrating, probably blasting the album.
Yeah, definitely. For sure, because it's a great party record.
A killer. I mean, if you're having a party this weekend, put it on.
Put it on.
Put on
Bend Over Beethoven on repeat.
That's the one.
That song we spent, just to say, there's a song on the record, it's in the middle of the record. Yeah. It's right
at the end. It's third from last.
No. How long is the record, though? How many tracks?
I mean, it's like 10, 11, 12, something, 10, something like that.
Anyhow, Bend Over Beethoven is a song. The hook of the song is, Bend Over Beethoven, tell mama the news. What's the next part?
Tell your mother the news.
Yeah.
Bend over.
Don't you perform this live?
This is one of the old ones that people do request, but we don't do a lot of old
Anyhow,
stuff.
Anyhow, so there's a break. There's a point in the middle of the song, and Nick's like, I really want this to be like a crazy like rave build up. I want it to go like break way down and then build it way up. And we were in the studio for like days
trying to.
And Nick was like, no, bigger. It's got to be big. It's way crazier. It's bigger. And like, I'm like, I don't know how to like the structure of the song didn't exactly lend itself to be. It's not a rave song. It's like a funky kind of like, it's like a kind of in the pocket funky
it's a deep groover
rock.
It's really like the band digs in. It's a nice it's a nice version of the band jamming out.
Yeah,
and that song just turned into the joke of the record because the record was finished several times, and then I call you up and be like, hey, we got to come back in, and you're like, Bend Over Beethoven. I'm like, you know, you know,
we had part of it, but it had to. Honestly, listen, I listened to it now and I think we could have taken it further. You know, I listen to it now and I'm like, why didn't we go further?
Here's what I always tell people about the song.
Tom York liked it.
That was the final payoff.
Right.
Was that we worked on it so hard for track 10 on the 12 song record. Who's going to listen to track 10? And then,
I'll tell you who.
And then Tom York was on the BBC and he says, yeah, can you play the song?
Apparently, did that actually happen? Have you heard him say that?
This was reported to me by.
Okay,
by
apparently
people.
Tom York played it on. He played in the BBC. He was like, "This is one of my songs I'm jamming to right now." Yeah. So that I feel like
that made it all worth it.
I feel like it does make it all worth it. And anyhow, so you guys came to the studio and we made a record together.
We had some good times.
It was fun. I mean,
it
here's
was
the thing.
A lot
the,
of
here's the thing. I've said this before, but the idea of sitting in a room. I mean, as an engineer and a producer, this is something that's really like apparent to me, and a lot of other people maybe they would not have this perspective, but it's really crazy to sit with like five people and just like work a drum sound until you get it. Like the snare needs to be more like, people say things like the snare needs to be more wet.
Or
you make the snare like more punchy but with some oomph? And people like that. People say shit like that and you're like, I don't know. Like the snare needs to sound more electric.
Yeah.
Right. Or whatever. And you could literally sit there for hours on a snare sound, right? Mm-hmm. Or like a bass sound or whatever. It's such a weird alchemy that you do when you're like, oh, I have a vision in my brain of what the sound is supposed to be like. And then you work reality to shape the sound. Like you're working. You're like, you are twiddling knobs to like to get something out of your head and into like meat space.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is a very weird experience.
It is, especially
when it's a group project.
But you actually always worked really fast.
I was very fast.
I don't remember a lot of just like, you had an insane way of working. You listeners out there don't know that he actually is like, unlike any other engineer I ever worked with, he's like manic and he's working on 12 things at once.
Is that true?
Then he pulls it all together. Also, one thing I remember is, I remember when we were making that record, we talked a lot. There was a lot of talking, and I would sitting there. Yeah, you did. That's how you got a podcast. You're talking.
I know. I was like,
but I remember sitting there and feeling like, are we going to like ever stop talking? Are we going to make this record?
Like, I think it's a very common thing that people think about me.
But in the end, I was like, well, we made a good record, and that was fun. So I've kind of kept that philosophy for the records I've made since then. Like, you should be having a good time. Like, if you stop and talk for 40 minutes and, like, play 10 songs on YouTube, like, that's great.
No,
like,
man,
you're supposed to be hanging out, having a good time.
That gives good vibes for a record. You think Skinner went in the studio and was like, let's get this thing done? Yeah, they went in there, man. They had some beers. They had smoked some weed.
Yeah, yeah.
They brought some girls over. You know, they listened to their favorite records. They talked about when they were all a bunch of huge racists and how great it used to be before like the North won.
Yeah, right, right.
And then they maybe laid down a couple of drum tracks.
Maybe.
So you used to date a girl who worked as a switch operator at the escort service frequented. By Elliot Spitzer.
Yeah, I dated the switch operator. Doesn't that sound like a lie?
Explain that to me.
I don't know. That was just her job. She had a couple of jobs. And then she told me, the funny thing about this story is that She told me this. She's like, yeah, it's crazy. Like, yeah, I run the switchboard. All these guys.
Before,
it was high,
before Elliot Spitzer
class,
was caught? Before he,
yeah,
they,
before he was caught.
You,
she
did
said,
we talked about this, did we not?
We back then. Well, here, let me tell you the story as I recall it.
Okay.
So she told me this. Then we're all at a polite dinner one night, someone's birthday.
As we always were.
And as we always were. And I bring up, I was like, wow, so this girl I've been dating says that Elliot Spitzer comes into this agency that she works at all the time. It's Call Girl Agency. And this is before that news broke. And remember, someone at that table got had been working on Elliot Spitzer's campaign, and someone got very upset and left, and it was
wait,
all
was
weird.
I there?
You were definitely there.
I don't remember
absolutely
this.
There. We were at that restaurant. Where is it? Okay, it's right off the Williamsburg Bridge. It's on in Lower East Side. It was like a...
Oh, Kanji Village?
Maybe.
The Chinese place?
Yeah, like right after you come off the west, the Williamsburg
like
Bridge.
If you're coming over, it's on the left. Mm-hmm. We were there. It's Kanji Village.
And we were all going to go to that place on Broadway. We were going to go dancing after. Maybe you weren't going to make the... You didn't go dancing with us a lot back then.
I went a couple times. I've danced.
You dance.
I mean, I've got incredible physical moves. Anyway, go ahead. Did you guys find
anyways,
something in there?
Anyways.
Oh, hold on. Wait a second. I got to take a break. Two things are going to happen. We're going to take a break because there's going to be an advertisement.
Oh, okay.
But when we come back, we're going to get this tweet revealed to us all been waiting for about the song that I mentioned. And we're going to hear more about this Elliot Spitzer
prostitution
story.
Anecdote.
So we'll be right back.
This episode of Tomorrow with Joshua Topolsky is brought to you by Nadex Binary Options Trading. The world's markets are changing. So are innovations in how we trade them. With limited risk and a simple yes-no design, Nadex Binary Options offer an affordable, exciting new way to participate in the markets. Nadex is the first CFTC-regulated, U.S.-based binary options exchange, offering thousands of short-term trading opportunities daily and weekly. Trade a wide range of markets, Forex, commodities, U.S. and global stock indices, even Bitcoin, all from one account. Binary options ask a simple question. Will this market be above this price at this specific time? Yes or no? If you're right, you profit and get the full $100. If you're wrong, you lose what you paid up front, but no more. Trade from your mobile, tablet, or PC. Go to Nadex.com. That's Nadex.com. Futures options and swaps trading involve risk and may not be appropriate for all investors.
Glasses should not cost as much as an iPhone. That's why Warby Parker is creating a new concept in eyewear. Contemporary eyeglasses that are extremely affordable and fashion forward. They believe glasses should be like a fashion accessory, like a bag, a shoe, a necktie, a hat. I mean, as a person who wears glasses, I have to say, I do. This is kind of my face. The glasses, like without the glasses, I can just walk down the street. And I just look like a random
person. You're in disguise.
I'm like a nobody.
Yeah.
When I put these glasses on, it's like a superpower.
Right.
I can finally read things.
Right.
And I look cool.
Yeah.
So at $95, they make it easy to accessorize with glasses.
$95? That's extremely inexpensive.
It's affordable.
It's extremely affordable. Wow.
And on top of that great price, all glasses include anti-reflective and anti-glare coating at no additional cost. And all glasses include a hard case and a cleaning cloth. And there are no additional items that you need to purchase. Best of all, Warby Parker makes buying high-quality prescription glasses online easy, risk-free, and most of all, enjoyable. And who doesn't like a little enjoyment in life? And you can order 5 pairs of glasses to be shipped directly to you so you can actually try them on. And then you just send back the ones you don't like.
That's a pretty good system.
You try them on, you get a feel for them, and then you can send back glasses that you don't want to own.
That seems fair enough. Pretty good idea. Yeah, they've had that worked out well.
You get 5 pairs for 5 days, and then you just mail them back to Warby Parker in a prepaid package. You don't have to pay anything. Go to warbyparker.com/Joshua to choose your 5 free home try-on frames. Figure out the ones you like. Send the ones you don't like back. By visiting that URL, you get free 3-day shipping on your final frame choice. Warby Parker makes your experience completely risk-free, and there's free shipping all around. Also, and I think this is very cool, for every pair of glasses sold, the company distributes a pair of glasses to somebody in need, which is quite nice. So go to warbyparker.com/Joshua today to get started on finding your new look. Okay. The moment we've been waiting for. Mm-hmm. Magnus has located.
Oh, yes, yes. What is the song?
Yeah, your headphones aren't on.
Do you need to put them on? Oh, because I can't even
imagine. You can't hear Magnus if you don't
have them. I kind of let my ears
All right, go. What is the... I tweeted about the song, Magnus... Sorry. I tweeted about the song. Nick wanted to know if I was high when I tweeted about it. And
so we're going to find out what the song was and whether you were high.
What the song was, whether I was high and or drunk, I guess.
Yeah.
For the sake of the argument.
Oh,
it's a Finnish band.
I feel bad.
It's a song.
Now do you know who it is?
Finnish band. Hold on. Wait.
How many Finnish bands do you listen to?
I don't. I'm still like, I have no idea what this is.
You were high.
Oh, oh, it's the song Locky by the band Circle.
Yeah.
Circle. Now, there's a couple of bands named Circle, but this Circle is, and this is no offense to Teacher Chick that puts on a great show. I don't really like going to see live music.
Right.
I went to see Circle, a friend of mine, because I had a lot of friends like in the early 2000s. Like everybody I knew was like really into krautrock. And if you're listening, you know what krautrock is. Krautrock is music that essentially it really started in Germany, hence the name krautrock. It's very repetitive, very loopy, like a little bit electronic, a little bit rock and roll, mostly like really cerebral, loopy, repetitive, just like grooves. It's like grooves. It's and Brian Eno was involved in a lot of like early krautrock, and he took a lot of krautrock ideas and turned it into what would become like his later pop music. I mean, he did a lot of like experimentation around like those kind of ideas as well, but also took like some very like krautrock ideas and turned it into like great pop records, like Taking Tiger Mountain by Strategy and Here Come the Warm Jets and so on and so forth. Do you agree or disagree with all of what
everything you've said is correct?
Okay,
and also big influence on Chick Chick Chick.
I mean, Brian Eno is to me the one of the greatest, if not maybe the greatest producer of all time. I mean,
to me as well.
I mean, George Martin is certainly up there, but his stuff was so much more linear. He's up there, but so much more linear by comparison. But Brian Eno like reinvented music and has continued to do it actually for a long time. I mean, he's responsible for like U2's most impressive music. He's responsible for Coldplay's most impressive
Wait,
music.
Wait, he did War?
He did, oh really?
Are we going to start arguing U2 albums?
Let's not go there. Anyhow, anyhow, so this band Circle.
Yeah.
Is like metal. It's like krautrock crossed with metal. Do you know Circle?
I listened to that song when you tweeted. I liked it.
And they would perform. They were kind of like low budget guar. Like they have outfits. Like they have like the lead singer has a kind of like. I mean, they're sort of from Finland, where like there's a lot of black metal that hails from Finland. Am I right, Magnus, in saying that? Magnus is a huge fan of black metal, by the way. And this is true, right?
That's
Magnus?
True.
Metal generally, but Magnus can tell you more about metal than pretty much any other person you've ever met in your entire life. Anyhow, but it's like if you took the best of like metal when it really grooves. Look at this. He's got a Swedish death metal tote bag, which is very a perfect thing for Magnus because he's like a dad who lives in Greenpoint, but he's also really into metal.
You don't see a lot of metal guys with totes.
He puts all his pacifiers and bottles in there. Oh, there's a book. There's a book, Swedish Death Metal, which I'm now plugging.
That's a good book.
That Magnus translated.
Huh.
He did not translate it. He did not translate it. Anyhow.
Okay.
Anyhow, so they're like the best, grooviest part of like metal.
Yeah.
Crossed with the best part of krautrock and like the little guar sprinkled in. And they're amazing. And that song is amazing. I wasn't high. I can tell you, I had not done any drugs. But I definitely was drinking when I was listening to it.
Well, it sounded like a good song to get high to.
You'll find there's a period for me in the evenings, like when I'm like having some vodka and on Twitter, just like perusing, and you'll find some lively, you'll see some like lively activity from me. You can tell there's like drunk Twitter. There's like people who like get on Twitter in the evenings.
Right, right.
And you know they're having a glass of wine and they're just letting their hair down and they're going for it.
Yeah.
I'm one of those people.
Oh, that's great. So
sometimes it goes further than just a glass of wine.
It goes from drunk Twitter to wasted Twitter.
Goes from drunk Twitter to coke Twitter. No, anyhow. Okay, so we answered that. Now we're going to hear the end of Nick's Elliot Spitzer
story.
The
only thing is that it was.
So we were at dinner.
We were at dinner.
You brought up
the
story that you were dating a girl that was the switchboard operator for the phones at the escort house where Elliot Spitzer was a regular customer.
Yeah.
Okay, and then?
Someone there at this table worked on Elliot Spitzer's campaign and was just like outraged that I would even say this. They're like, "That I don't believe it. I don't believe it." And they left the dinner early, and it was like all kind of
enraged. They were enraged,
and it was all kind of weird. God, sorry. I mean, this is what she told me. And then you know, months after that, we of course weren't speaking. And then that came out in the news, and I was like,
"You really wanted to call?" I got to call and say, "I told you so."
I told you so.
Well, that's shocking. Now, Magnus did a bio. Now, we know each other well, so I didn't need it, but there are things in this bio that are kind that, of... Now, I have a note here that says that you went number two in a diaper.
Woo!
Can I hear more about that?
You know
that?
What? You've never gone number two in a diaper?
I mean, when I was a child, presumably. When I was a baby, I'm guessing. I have a good follow-up question to this also.
Do you want me to answer the question or you want to give me the follow-up question first?
No, I want you to answer it.
Yes, I have taken a shit in a diaper, in an adult diaper. A friend of mine was in a baby for Halloween, and there was a bunch of diapers sitting around the house, so I'm like, I'm going to check it out. And the thing about this is... Do you want to say anything?
No, I don't.
Thing about this is you know when you're joking around, you're having a good time, and then you make this joke that just like, everyone's like, that's not funny. Like, and it's just like, it can't be turned back from.
It's kind of like ribbing your pals, and you say something super racist. Yeah, and it's like the record scratches.
Yeah.
Not that I would ever do that, but I'm assuming.
Sure. I've seen people do that.
Yeah.
But that's what it was like, because I was hanging out with my friends, and I was like, hey, you know what I'm doing right now? And they're like, drinking coffee? And I was like, I'm taking a shit.
How old were you?
30.
So pretty reasonable.
Yeah, so like last week.
Oh, yeah. Really? I have a different birth date for you here if that's the case.
All right, let's not talk about that. I'll talk about the time I took a shit in time as an adult, but not how old I am.
Yeah. Okay, fine. Now, let me follow that up.
Yeah.
Sorry, is there more?
Just that it was just like they did not think it was funny. It was like,
I thought it would be funny.
They'd be interested too.
But didn't you think you could have just said you were doing it?
No, I thought it was interesting that I was actually doing it. And I was like looking him in the eye. I was like, check it out. I'm taking a shit right now. How about this? And
now,
it was not amusing to them.
My follow up is I have a note here that says you used to work as a nanny. Is that any truth to that?
What a follow up. Yes, that is true, actually. Yeah. Yeah, I have. It's in fact,
can
once
you give
the whole,
me more, I want to hear more.
Once this whole
on
dance rock movement is over,
yeah,
that's the only skill I have, and that's what I will be back to doing.
Being a nanny.
Yeah.
Is dance rock? I think it's over.
That's the joke, Josh.
So what's the new record
been
like?
Is it over?
I don't know. What's the new record?
Certainly
what's
been
the new
over.
Record like?
The new record's...
It's like Avicii.
No,
it's like EDM.
It's not. It's
full
not.
EDM.
Do you follow dance music? Actually, I always wonder about you and dance music.
I try to follow all music.
Because, I mean, yeah.
Except country. All right, so we've talked about music a lot.
Yeah. Let's talk
about something that's actually relevant.
Taylor Swift made a huge announcement last week.
No, shut up. But I want to talk about this. So you're an indie artist. You've been making music for like professionally for
like
20
over
years.
20 years. Yeah,
over
like
20
that.
Years.
Yeah.
And Chick 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 has certainly had its fair share of success. Mm. Outhud has had its share of success.
Sure.
What else have you done? What other acts?
That's it. Really.
That's
I had a punk band called the Yamas.
Yeah, nobody knows that band.
Nobody knows.
But I mean you're the music industry is one of the worst industries in the world. I mean, having participated in it for about a decade.
For 100 gazillion reasons.
You know, like it's a bad industry. But so there's been a lot of activity lately in music because Apple announced this Apple Music, which is a streaming service that basically is like Spotify. Mm-hmm. But they, you know, presumably are going to pay artists more money.
Yeah. Okay, wait. Let me get this right. Tidal plays 75%. Spotify pays 70 and Apple comes in like, how about 71.5? Isn't that right? Are those
Is
statistics
right?
Right?
I don't know the numbers.
I think that's what this
did. You just make that up? Or?
No, I feel like that's almost exactly what it is. I mean, the funny thing about this is not the part of the stuff I pay attention to.
Right. But the fact is that the artist, what the labels get paid.
Yeah.
What the artist
I mean, that's
get...
kind of what happened. Isn't that kind of what happened? This is the classic music industry story.
Yeah.
Like the labels come in, they're the business people. So they come in, they're like, well, let's sort this out and let's get this much for ourselves. You know, it's like the same story as the 50s,
I mean,
correct?
But you can't really be an artist without a label now. Can you?
I don't know. Can't you more than ever?
I mean, can you? You tell me. Why don't you get off a label? Just do your own thing.
I mean, we're on Warp Records.
You're still on Warp.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which, you know, is a fantastic label.
That's
forward-thinking.
It's a long relationship.
Yeah.
But do you need Warp? Because if that 75, the 71 point whatever was going to you.
The thing about Warp is we've worked out a good relationship that works. Like,
we're
a classic good relationship of a band with a label.
But they also do things that you don't want to do.
Not really.
Like they promo the record to people.
The
record.
Yeah. They do the stuff that
they
we
make
don't
sure that
want
you've
to
got
yeah,
like
yeah.
A van or a bus when you need to go on tour.
No, they don't do that.
Who does that?
Probably Mario. I don't know. We have
Mario.
Well,
you should just go independent if you're not doing that.
Well, we have a manager too. So Mario, but Mario always kind of managed us, so they both kind of do it together.
Right.
I don't know. We have a good working relationship with them. Like, we've worked out a way that it works together.
Right.
So that
are you seeing money from Spotify or from?
Fuck, I don't know. I don't think so. Like, that part is a joke. The thing that they like, I trust Warp that they know. Like, they've always been like a step ahead of other labels. You know, I mean, they survived. Whereas like other labels that we had, like Touch and Go, GSL, those labels folded. You know,
right.
Warp's been able to stay.
Did Touch
ahead.
And Go fold?
Oh yeah, that was the first like kind of like Did pillar they? Of indie
when
rock
was
to
this?
Fall.
When was this?
Jeez, I forget. Yeah.
How many years ago?
2009, 2010.
Wow, that was a long time ago.
When
I
they,
don't remember.
When they
I was,
went down,
I was
it was
high when it happened.
When they went down, that was the first like, whoa, this is happening.
Yeah.
Like everyone's like, because that was around the time people were like, you know, I still buy an album if I like it. But it was back when people was trying to say that. You know,
when people were lying.
Yeah, when people were lying.
Yeah.
And I would catch them in that lie.
Right.
You know, no one tries to lie that anymore. That lie's done. You know, but back when people were saying that, Touch and Go folded. And it was like, then how come Touch and Go just folded? If,
right.
if you know,
right.
people are still buying albums.
Right.
And then, you know, but now it's like all the labels have, you know, there's a few standing, but Warp.
But we're
stays
back to,
above
we're
things.
Back to, but we're back to the original situation with music, which is like big labels run mm-hmm. everything.
Yeah, yeah.
And well, so that's, they control who sees what, who hears what.
Yeah. Well, okay, what happened in that memo about from, you know, all that leaked stuff, the hackers got in, and there was that one memo from Sony about their negotiation with Spotify. That was supposed to be incriminating.
Remember.
Come on, this is big news.
Off the top of my
this
head,
this is
I don't
your
remember.
Stuff that you're supposed to know. You're drunk now.
I've been drinking. I'm not drunk, but I don't know this particular fact off the top of my head.
Okay.
But well, I want to talk about Apple and Taylor Swift.
Sure.
So Taylor Swift wrote this letter.
Yeah.
But now you're mad because I don't remember
the
fact.
No, I'm thinking about what you're saying. Keep talking.
Oh, really? Is that what that is? I can't tell. Taylor Swift wrote this letter. It was basically like, I think it's wrong that you want artists to not get paid for this 3-month free trial.
I got to say, thanks, Taylor. That's how I feel. I
really?
Was like, yeah, that's how I felt.
Eric,
I was like,
Eric
fuck
felt
yeah.
very much the same way.
I was like, yes.
I felt like, this was like a phantom argument. Like,
why?
Well, because at the end of the day, it's the labels that are getting paid, and also they're paying them a cut rate, like the rate that Spotify pays for its free stuff.
Sure,
I mean,
sure.
I get getting paid, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But like, it's advocating in the. I mean, I'm happy that people get paid, but like, artists still aren't really getting paid. And if Taylor Swift really wanted to advocate, she's getting paid because she's got it. She's part of a big machine.
Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
actually, I think her label is called Big Machine. And
well. Can, yeah.
Go ahead.
No. Well, look, we're gonna get screwed. This is what the music industry did. Like, let's remember that in the 90s, record companies got sued, or like they got sued, and you could get a refund on albums that you bought because record companies had jacked up the prices. Do you remember this?
Yes.
So that happened.
Like
the record companies are going to screw us.
Right.
That is what they do. This is business.
Right.
And music is an art, and I love it, and I'm an artist, and I'm getting screwed. That's the way it works. Always going to happen.
So has the music industry ever been viable for real artists?
I mean, sure.
Has it?
But there's
always been a machine, though.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I mean, certainly back in the day, record companies were able to, they had inflated the prices, you know? It was like, they were getting so much money that, of course, some of that spillover got to the artists. Now, there's going to be a lot less money to get, so artists are just going to get less.
Right.
That's just
And there's
gonna,
way more artists.
Yeah.
I mean, there's way more music now than there's ever been.
Is that so? Yeah.
Don't you think?
I don't know.
Think about the wide variety of music that you hear, like on the radio, or when you look at Spotify. You don't think that there's way more music to listen to?
Josh, I have no idea.
Oh, no, you should have some idea. You're a musician.
No idea. There's always
and
been
you
a
listen
lot.
To a lot of music.
Is there more music? There's always been a lot of music.
Oh, really? Do you think that the same amount of music now as in the 70s?
Magnus is checking his phone. He's like, no, he's checking to see when was more music made.
Yeah, important.
Look,
we need him to do that.
I don't know that I can assist. Sure, that would make sense.
He'd finally be useful.
It's kind of like, you know how they always used to be that fact, like, the Backstreet Boys have sold more records than the Beatles because more people are buying, you know, like, you know how those records were always being broken? It was kind of like dropped on you some crazy statistic.
Where, right.
Well, I imagine that, sure, that would make sense because now there's more people.
But I'm saying,
that would make sense. I'm not arguing that point.
Go back 20 years.
Yeah.
Do you think like a Jamie XX record exists?
No.
No, I'm saying you've got the XX. You got this, the XX, which is a band.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're pretty popular.
Pretty popular.
Right. And then you've got like Jamie XX does this kind of like weird techno record thing. Like, is that, I mean, is there an audience? Now, that's like a popular, some, like, to people who listen to weird music, that's a kind of like a popular record now. But like 20 years ago or 30 years ago, when it truly was like just the biggest of the big, does that record even ever get made when there's like no bedroom studios? You know, it's like, Guided by Voices was like the bedroom studio band.
Right, sure.
Who was making like, outsider music or music like for themselves that would get like go into the mainstream. I'm not saying Jamie XX is doing that, but think about all the things. Like Picture Plane, for instance, like what label is Picture Plane on?
Well, yeah, he probably does his own thing or something, I would guess.
He's the only person getting paid in music right now.
I was thinking about Taylor Swift. Well, real quick, why doesn't she write a Tumblr about like iPhones being made in sweatshops or whatever?
Wow.
Why isn't there that? She's like, what about us artists? Like, what about me as a millionaire? Why aren't I getting all my proceeds from, you know?
But well, listen, one fight at a time, right?
So that's her next Tumblr?
I doubt it. It's going to be something like, how come, how come I can't wear, like, how come I can't wear pants? So anyhow, so did Apple, the whole Apple Music thing or the Taylor Swift thing, does it actually, do you feel like it has any impact on you or your career?
I mean, I don't know. Apparently, you know, like Warp thinks that the streaming thing is gonna work out, because to me it's
they're
just
supporters
like,
of Apple Music.
Yeah, I mean, and the here's how I feel about talking about it. I can't control where this is all going. You know, all gonna where music industry ends up. Nobody knows at this point. Like anything could happen.
Right.
You know, it's pretty hard to predict. If anyone knows, honestly, it's gonna be you. It's like, how big is this Apple thing gonna be? Obviously, you know. It's like, it's kind of like, you know, why is their service going to be better than Spotify?
Let me tell you why.
Why?
Because Apple, first off, Apple has a huge library. And what they're playing for right now is to put the entire library into the mix as part of the streaming service, right? Mm. Like their library of music is big. They have all the music.
They're going to have more stuff than Spotify.
Yes, a lot more.
Wow.
They probably will have a lot more stuff than Spotify.
Right.
Okay. And so that's number one. Yeah, that's variety
big. That's
of music
a big
is
deal.
Big. Here's number two. Apple Music will be part of every Apple device that ships.
Yeah.
It'll be part of every Apple device that gets updated with the latest software update. So you're talking about hundreds of millions. Yeah. I think actually they may be at like a billion devices or something. I don't know. Don't quote me on that because,
sure.
I've had two vodka drinks. Yeah, yeah. But we're talking about hundreds and hundreds of millions of devices.
Yeah.
iPads, iPhones, Macs. That is going to be like there.
Yeah.
Right? So now imagine like you get the free trial. You're one of the, let's just say for the sake of the argument, 300 million people, okay? Yeah. Now, how many subscribers Spotify has? Mm-hmm. Actually, Spotify has 60 million, I believe, users.
Yeah.
They're not all paying for it.
Yeah,
okay?
Yeah.
Most of them are actually, I think, listening to it for free because Spotify has a free mode.
Yeah.
Now, imagine like 300 million people get this on their phone who like music but aren't going to spend, they won't spend $10 a month on a record.
Yeah,
they won't spend $10 multiple times a month on a record. Yeah. They may buy one record in 4 or 5 or 6 months, right?
Yeah,
they're not like music addicts. They like music. So imagine that of those 300 million, you know, 10%, 20% decide to, I'll pay 10 bucks a month to listen to as much music as I want. Suddenly like the economics of that are really different.
You know,
the audience is way larger.
Sure.
It's like the potential for audience is way larger, but it's also more accessible.
Right?
So if Spotify requires that you know what it is, you download it, that you're a music fan, that maybe you have to make a decision to pay for it or not.
This is
like, it eases you into it in a big way, right?
And you know what I'm going to say too? I think Spotify, because Spotify is slowly starting to win. It's like, it's perfect for Apple to come in right now. What I'm kind of compare this to is how everyone always talks about Nirvana kicked open the door and alternative happened. Nirvana couldn't have happened without Jane's Addiction. Jane's Addiction was the Spotify of alternative. Like they kind of just primed everyone. And then so that a band like Nirvana could come in and just like, hey, we'll take this and kick the doors open.
I think it's safe to say that years of indie music and just weird rock music that was like a tweak. It was like a tweaked version of what was popular.
Yeah.
Opened people's minds up to the possibility of something new in rock music.
Which
allowed Nirvana to storm the gates with their very very fresh
sound.
I
felt like at that time, to be weird, you didn't listen to any rock. You listen to Depeche Mode or The Smiths or whatever.
Oh, Depeche Mode. Laura and I were talking about goths on the last episode. And I don't know why I didn't think of Depeche Mode. It was like, if you could say
the gateway
one band,
goth band.
In the 80s and 90s, what is like the perfect What is the true perfect, like, at the center of the goth experience and vibe? What is the band?
Well, I mean, I would say The Cure.
So I think The Cure is, maybe that is The Cure.
Yeah. But Depeche Mode is, I mean, The Cure, they both kind of take
together.
Up, yeah, they take up different
one's
spots.
One's like more electronic, one's more rock.
Like, they're like Nirvana and Pearl Jam.
Yeah.
You know?
Wow. Wow. That's serious. That's serious. But you have a point. Anyhow, so you think James Addiction opened the door for Nirvana?
But I think
in the way that Spotify opened the door for Apple Music.
Spotify's gotten people kind of used to this idea of like, oh, you can just stream it on your phone.
Well, the way
so
I would see it. That's
Apple's
funny that you see
in.
It that way.
Yeah, because
I see, it as small companies innovated. And now Apple's like, oh, that's a really good idea.
Sure. Well, that's,
I mean, this is the reality.
This is what, how
the reality
Apple works.
Is like, they're like, oh, that's a really good idea. Yeah. Let's steal that idea.
Yeah.
And then like put it on our 300 or 500 million devices.
Yeah.
And then everybody will think that we had the idea originally.
Well, so this is always my question, right? It's like, that's how Apple works. That's what they're going to do.
That's what large companies
do
generally.
So these are the companies that we're growing up with. We're growing up with Apple and Google. Yeah. And we kind of have like a little bit of affiliation or like kind of like brand loyalty to those.
Yeah, one of those is our Nike.
Yeah.
One of those is our Adidas.
Exactly.
Our
and
Adidas.
Is it like, but are they like Coca-Cola and Ford? Like, is that where they end up? Like, our grandparents kind of had those allegiances to those companies.
I do think there's something about the iPhone that is very similar to a Coke. And one of the things, yeah. I think Andy Warhol said this. Maybe I've talked about this before. But Andy Warhol said like
a
Coke,
great.
And I actually think this is true about Led Zeppelin too. And I'll get to that in a second. I may have talked about this in the podcast before, have I, Magnus? But Andy Warhol, I believe, and if I'm misquoting, then you know somebody can send Magnus at tomorrowpodcast.com an email about it. But a Coke is a Coke. If you're like a bum on the street or like the leader of the free world, there's no better Coke. There's no like more sophisticated Coke. Like, you want a Coke because it's a Coke. And like, you can it's a dollar. You can pay for it if you're poor. You can pay for it if you have a lot of money. You're not going to pay any more for a better Coke. Like, you're going to pay a dollar and you're going to get a Coke. And it's awesome.
I think he said you get the same one Liz Taylor gets.
Yeah, sure. Exactly. That's the same idea. But like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I read this article in the New York Times about Karl Lagerfeld and how like he has a guy who greets him whenever he lands somewhere. He has a tray with a cold Diet Coke on the tray, like waiting for him. But like, I know what a cold Diet Coke tastes like. And I know that I can have like a pretty similar experience. There's no guy waiting for me at the end of a runway. But like, I know that I can like get a cold Coke out of a machine, a Diet Coke out of a machine, and it's like really good, and it's the same Diet Coke that Karl Lagerfeld is drinking.
Sure, right.
I think the iPhone.
Yeah.
I think this is true of the iPhone, where it's like, you use an iPhone, I have an iPhone, Jake Gyllenhaal has an iPhone.
Right,
like, Obama has a secret iPhone that nobody knows about, but he definitely has one. Like, you know what
I mean? Does he have an app with the button in it?
Yeah, for sure. It's like, it's called The Button. It's just like, it's like, just all day long he opens
it's like,
it.
What
it's
if
like,
I'm on the road? What if I'm on the road?
Exactly.
I'm a Camp David and I need the button.
You gotta hit the button. Now, people may not know what the button is. If you don't know, in the 80s, it was a very popular idea that the president had their, quote, finger on the button, which meant at any moment they could launch a full-scale nuclear attack that would destroy the world.
Wait, so the button's been phased out? Is that what you're telling
me? People don't talk about the button anymore. That's a real 80s thing. That's like a Reagan. That's a Reagan era. Even Magnus knows, and he's from Sweden. Even Magnus knows that the button has kind of been phased out. Although Obama with his app, we don't know. We don't know what'll happen. Mm. He's at the end of his term.
Yeah, right.
You know? Anyhow, so what the hell was I talking about? What the fuck was I talking about?
About Obama and his iPhone. Liz Taylor, the Coke.
No, the iPhone. The iPhone has the same quality as the Coke.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's the best you can get.
Yeah.
And Obama can't get a better iPhone.
No.
And you can't get a better iPhone. And you both can get it. And I think that's like really powerful.
That is powerful.
You know, and
that's
I think there's certain things. Led Zeppelin. I remember this very vividly.
What's this part?
My brother and I were like
second
talking,
time we talked. About
my
Led
brother
Zeppelin's
and I were talking
podcast.
About Led Zeppelin. I remember many years ago, decades ago. I don't know, 15 years ago.
Right.
You know, and I was like, Led Zeppelin's like kind of trashy. Like everybody I knew who listened to Led Zeppelin was like kind of. They were like headbangers, you know, they were like not, they were not, we didn't have a connection. I was like a weird, like D&D/ computer nerd.
Yeah.
And they were like dudes who were getting laid. And, and, you know, I was like, I don't know, man, this is like kind of like lowbrow.
Right.
You know? And Eric was like, Zeppelin rocks. Okay. It rocks to the dudes, to like headbangers, and it rocks to like musicologists who like understand the intricacies of music. Like Zeppelin rocks no matter what.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, yeah, they kind of do though. Like it doesn't matter like how you feel, where you come from, who you are.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
Zeppelin
yeah.
kind of even I if like you don't that. Like even if you don't like Robert Plant's voice,
it's like it's
they
like,
still kind of rock. Yeah, it's that, not like Rush. Rush, you can be totally. You or, can like be
or,
like.
Yeah, or it's like Kiss. Kiss would be like Shasta.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like RC Cola.
Yeah.
But Led Zeppelin is Coke.
Yeah. And no, Coke, I got you. I got you.
And
yeah.
Coke is it.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. Why they don't bring back that tagline is beyond me.
Well, what are they saying now? What are they?
It's like Coke. It's like grabs hashtag grab some or something. it's like hashtag everybody drinks it or like hashtag like. You know, Papa Coke or whatever it is. It's not whatever. Good. It's a hashtag.
Yeah, Coke
though.
Is it is good.
It's like hashtag it's for you or some bullshit like that.
That's not Bud.
I don't know, but Coke is it.
Coke is it is
Coke
good.
Is it is
Coke
like,
is it because it's fucking it.
And it's like, Coke is you're done. It. It's like, you're done. Like, final thought. You can't compete with it. You can't question it. It's like, because what is it? I don't know, but it's Coke is it. You know?
Yeah.
What are we going to say? I don't know. Is it? I mean, and you're like, yeah, it is. Coke is it. And we just said it. The statement is out there. Yeah.
And now it's like, so well, Coke was it?
It's like, just do it.
Yeah, just it is. It. That's exactly what I thought.
Just do it and Coke is it. Yeah. Both companion, like, endlessly perfect taglines.
Yeah. Just do it is, great life
just
advice.
Do just do you it. Know,
it's, yeah.
Stop talking about it. Just do it.
Yeah.
Get a Coke. Because Coke is it. And then just do it. Anyhow. I have one final note about you.
Wait, one more thing about, you know, the other thing, one other funny thing about Andy Warhol, I think is, remember when he said, and I always thought this is kind of flippant, arty thing to say, but it is absolutely, absolutely completely true, is in the future, everybody will be famous for 15 minutes.
And that's very true. That's proven to be totally true.
It's like, you know.
I mean, it was probably one of the most prescient things the man said. Small fact about Andy Warhol.
I didn't know what you're good at.
From Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
From Pittsburgh, PA, my hometown.
From the same area as Dan Marino, I believe.
Dan Marino may be from Pittsburgh, but I don't know because I don't know anything about sports. Although I do know he's a sports person.
When I was in Pittsburgh, first time I was in Pittsburgh, I was in like Dan Marino Park or something.
I don't know.
And it said
exists.
Like home of Dan Marino and Andy Warhol.
Andy Warhol is from Pittsburgh, has an amazing museum in Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
The Andy Warhol Museum.
Mm-hmm.
And in that museum, there's a room. I don't know if it's still there, actually. The Silver Clouds room. Do you know Silver Clouds?
That's
Silver
familiar.
Clouds is something that that Warhol did that is these huge silver Mylar balloons that are filled with half helium and half air, and they float in the middle of the room. And it is
I don't know these.
It is without question one of the most breathtaking pieces of art.
Really?
It is unbelievable because when you walk in the room, it does feel like you feel like you're floating. It feels otherworldly. I mean, it is a totally transformative experience. And it's one of the things that I remember, I mean, at being at the Warhol Museum, that was just like, it's like, it's something that just takes you out of your brain in a way.
Right.
It puts
right.
you in a totally different mindset.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just a breathtaking piece of art. Mm. I'm into art. I'm into art when it works, when it really works. It's like a transformative kind of like physical experience.
Sure.
Which is why I love your performance art that you do as lead singer of Chick Chick Chick.
Right, right.
I want to talk about one other thing before we go.
Okay.
There is a pop artist named Charlie XCX. Mm-hmm. She's very, very well known. She did a song called Boom Clap. It's in the Fault in Our Stars soundtrack, which is a very popular book and movie, now movie. She did a song with, who is it, a collaboration she did a song with?
She did I Love It. It was probably the greatest song of the last 10
years.
She did
a song with Iggy Azalea.
Oh, yeah. She did the song from last summer.
Yeah. What is it called?
Man, wait. Wait, hold on.
Yeah. Whatever
the curse
want.
Of the summer jam. Okay. Look at 2 years ago, summer jam, Robin Thicke.
Yeah.
The next summer, lowest point of his life. Mm-hmm. Right? I mean, arguably, you remember this, right? His album came out, it sold like 600
and then
copies.
He cheated on his wife, and then she left him.
Yeah. You know, the summer before, he's like gallivanting around with topless models.
To be honest. the song was basically about cheating on his wife, so we kind of saw this coming.
Right, right.
It was like I'm going to do sex to a bunch of ladies.
But the fall was hard. The fall was hard, right?
Yeah, it wasn't that hard. It was quiet is what it was.
Well, but I mean, it was like front page news in The Guardian that his album, like,
Robin tanked. That was the other thing.
That was the huge thing. Yeah. So then next
his album was like an apology album to his wife.
Right, yeah, right. Okay, but it was like he was the laughing stock.
I mean, he's Robin Thicke.
And then he had to go in court and say, like, yeah, I didn't really write.
He's Alan Thicke's son. I mean, have you seen Growing Pains? Like, what do we expect to happen?
He wrote good songs. He did write really good songs. That one, Shooter, that's a great song. Shooter's a great song by Robin Thicke.
Then
last summer, Iggy Azalea, Song of the Summer.
What was it?
Fancy.
Fancy.
But I mean, really, it was just the hook that Charlie XCX wrote.
The hook was the song.
That was the song.
I don't know if she wrote it. I mean, she sang it.
Yeah, yeah. But then this summer, I mean, you cannot be lower than Iggy.
Iggy's like,
her name is Dirt.
You can't touch her. And I was just listening to her first, like, her EP. It's called Ignorant Art.
Mm-hmm.
And there's like there's some interesting songs in there. Like, I feel like Iggy Azalea was on a different path, and then she went pop.
Well, hands you a hook like Fancy, what are you going to do?
All right. So anyhow, Charlie XCX.
Yeah.
She goes on SNL.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Performs one of her hits.
Yeah.
And several people point out.
Yeah.
That she seems to be stealing some of your dance moves. Now, if people haven't seen you, now, but frankly, most of the people listening probably haven't seen you.
Probably.
If people have seen you perform live, which I have several times, you have very distinct moves.
Right.
You dance like a strange person. I mean, you're not a normal guy out there.
Right.
Your body is possessed by a sound, by a movement that is unlike most others.
Yeah.
But Charlie XCX seems to have been possessed by a similar sound and movement.
Mm.
Can you explain this?
You know what?
Is she ripping you off?
This is going to seem like a setup because my answer is going to blow your mind.
Okay. I hope it is.
The guy who directed a video for us, which is actually called Jamie, My Intentions Are Bass.
Hmm. No relationship to Jamie
No
XX.
Relationship to Jamie XX.
Yeah.
He was did not direct a video for Charlie XCX, but was in talks and with her about doing a video. And she said to him, I want to do a video like Jamie, My Intention. I want to do something like that with that guy's dancing, but better.
What?
That's what she fucking
said.
I'm not fucking kidding.
So you're saying you have...
I'm not fucking kidding.
I mean, it's hearsay, but you have some shred of truth that Charlie XCX...
She's seen my dance moves and it's
she's aware of your dance moves.
Yeah.
This to is the point
because
with
that night, she, that night of Saturday Night Live,
to the point where she requested to do a video in the style of a video you'd done where you're dancing.
What makes this story shady is she did not actually do this video with this guy.
Okay,
but
she's seen the video.
But she's seen the video and she thinks she can do it better.
Do you believe that?
Do you believe that?
I do.
No, she can't do it better.
No,
she can do it better.
I don't believe she can do it better, but I believe that
she cannot do it better.
She
can maybe write a chorus better than I can, but she cannot do those moves better.
She's writing those choruses, is she?
What? Yeah, that's what she is. She's the songwriter. She's the songwriter.
Have you checked that out on Wikipedia?
Yeah, man. She's the songwriter. That's how she came up.
A really high register on that.
That means it's true.
So, you know, it's got to be true. So I just want to be clear. I want to be clear because I think, am I the first person to address this publicly?
You are the first. You're the one who's breaking this story.
Okay, I want to break this wide open. And I'm hoping Charlie XCX. Charlie XCX will respond because it's time for her to fess up.
Can she send us a hook? You know, we could use a hook. No, actually, I haven't liked anything since I Love It. Fantastic
but
song.
But you believe that she is ripping off your dance moves.
No, but you know, it's all good. You know, you can do that.
Is that
That's
a yes or a
fine.
No? Is that a yes or a no?
Sure. Yes. Yes. I do believe she's. All I want to say is this. Look, I was not watching Saturday Night Live. People were texting me.
Yeah.
And then the next day, wake up, I tweet
uncanny.
And they're like, this is like you.
The
and I was
physical,
like,
the
and
physical...
I looked it up and I was like, yeah, no, I'm not really. Oh shit, there she is.
Yeah,
yeah. There now she's doing it.
The moves are—it's uncanny.
Yeah. Yeah, but you know, whatever. I mean, can I call someone else? You know, because I don't steal. I don't
put everybody on blast on this episode. Yeah, who are you going to call out?
Come
on, don't back down.
This is one funny coincidence. There's one funny.
No one who's listening.
I'm not putting anyone on blast. Okay. I thought it was funny because I don't generally steal dance moves because I can't really. Like, I kind of just do my
thing. Your body has to do what it does.
Yeah, and I'm trying to steal moves because I want to, like...
That's why it's so unique.
Remember when Justin Timberlake brought out Michael Jackson and everyone was like, oh, Michael's just doing the same moves. I don't want that to happen to me. So I'm constantly searching for new moves. But it's hard. I just get up there and do what I do.
Yeah.
I'm just expressing myself. Yeah. But one move I have stolen, I stole from Prince. And I think he did it in I Would Die For You. Or Baby, I'm a Star. He does it in one of those. It's one of the end songs of Purple Rain. He does it. I'll do it in
Nick's
the studio right now.
Nick's doing it. He's doing it right now. I'm just going to describe it to you.
He goes like this.
Hold on, wait. I want to take a... Oh, shit. I don't have... Where's your phone? I want to take a... I'm going to take a video of this, okay? Then you have to send it to me. All right. Okay. Hold on. All right. Nick is going to... Oh, this is... What the hell? Okay.
I'm going to do the Prince move.
All right. Nick is going to demonstrate the Prince move that he's stolen for us in the studio.
It's like this. Do you know this move?
I do know the move. Okay. The move is, I would describe it as like, I'm taking a shower, but the water is too hot.
But it's also like you're moving your feet like really fast.
Yeah. No, you're getting away from the hot water. But you're also still rinsing. You're cleaning. Yeah. Yeah, that's like, oh, why is this water so hot? But I got to get clean quick because she's coming over.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Hold on. That's great. Got some content.
She's coming over,
some
meaning content. Apollonia.
Apollonia's coming over. And I got it. You have to send me that video or whatever.
Yeah, I'll send it to you. No problem.
I feel like I've seen that move.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. So, we got to wrap up.
Anyways, I just want to say that's the only move I've stolen. Just so happens, we're playing some festival last year and we're on after St. Vincent. On another stage, opposing stage, you know.
You're opposing St. Vincent.
We're on Main. She's on second to Main. You know, that's how it goes.
That's weird.
In Spain.
Spain, it's a different situation.
Different situation.
Yeah.
She plays. She did that same fucking move.
No.
No, I swear to God.
She stole it from you?
No, she stole it from Prince.
Oh, okay. That's okay. What's wrong with that?
I don't think she knows who I am.
Daft Punk, Charlie XCX, St. Vincent. Who was the other? There's one other artist. Who was it?
But have I put her on blast? Did I put her on blast? She just stole the same move.
Lou Reed. just nasty inside shit talking from Nick Offer from Chick.
Hold on. Don't get me in fights with these people.
You should be so lucky to be in a fight with St. Vincent, okay? I think this is a great place to leave this show. Nick, thank you for being here.
Josh, thanks for having me.
I feel like we've been talking for many, many hours.
You know,
we've covered a lot of ground.
I hope it didn't feel like many hours. You know, but I
no, I
kind of
think we covered a lot of territory.
Yeah. You know, I hope you have me back and we can talk about some other things.
You got to come back.
You know, I would
talk to you even if we weren't recording.
That's how I feel about you. Wow, did you hear that?
Yeah, it's hard for
podcast listeners.
Anyhow, that's the show for this week. Nick, thank you again.
Yeah, thanks.
Seriously. It's actually great because this allows us to catch up as human beings.
I know. That's
and like, also, I think we have like a pretty entertaining, who knows, you know, pretty entertaining podcast.
It depends on how Magnus edits it, really.
That's right. It's all in the hands. But you have a couple of days now. You'll figure it out. Anyhow, that's the podcast for this week. I'll be back next week, of course. And as always, I wish you and your family the very best. But that's just not going to be the case.